May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I read yesterday from 2 Corinthians 12. I want to do that again. Verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults and distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And we were looking at this yesterday and talking about the fact that because of the fall, every one of us are weak. And because of the fall, all of us encounter in this fallen world difficulties and insults, rejection, distresses. That's just the deal. And but he makes it really clear there that in those situations, even my personal weakness, my tendency towards sin, or the situations and the circumstances around me that seem to promote or exacerbate my tendency to sin. He said, in those things, he said, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. Because earlier he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Not might be sufficient for you, not could be sufficient for you, not can be sufficient for you, not hopefully will be sufficient for you, but right now is sufficient for you. That means it's a fact. It's an operative fact that's real right now. So in these scriptures, even though it feels like that weaknesses and circumstances promote failure, what he actually says is that weaknesses and circumstances provide an opportunity for the power of God to be demonstrated in my life and through my life. That's a huge faith difference to understand that. That's why Paul said, I boast about my weakness. He said, I'm not boasting about my sin. I just boast about my vulnerability. Because my vulnerability forces me to draw from the power of an indwelling Lord, from the grace that's sufficient. I'm content with not having it together because it forces me to rely on Him who does have it together. And I've said this before, but what those scriptures say then is that no Christian fails because they're weak. Weakness is not an excuse for failure. It's an opportunity to live supernaturally. No Christian fails because of weakness. Christians fail because of unbelief. We live by faith. We don't live by our strength. We don't live because we have it together. We don't live by our adequacy. We live by His adequacy. And I was thinking about this morning, just in my prayer time, a couple of places. One is from Hebrews about Sarah. And it says in verse 11 of chapter 11, by faith, even Sarah received ability to conceive beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now there's a sequence. The promise, she considered him faithful, faith, and then she received the ability to do the impossible. Now, she received the ability having believed, not before she believed. The ability was available, his grace was sufficient, but there's a biblical principle of faith, and that is what I take by faith, he undertakes in power. He waits to undertake in power what I first take by faith. Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing, but it's seeing what God says. And believing that's more real than anything that I feel or anything that's going on around me. There's another one. I love that one in Hebrews because She didn't have the ability to do what God had called her to do, but she received ability, having believed. But this is Mary, when the angel comes to Mary and tells her that she's going to give birth to the Messiah, and she says, how can it be, since I'm a virgin? And he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Offspring will be called the Son of God. And then he tells her that her relative Elizabeth is also conceived in her old age. And then he says, for not one word is impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondservant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And the angel left her. Then she goes, and she goes to be with Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant this time. This is her first opportunity to see Mary, having been now pregnant with Jesus. It says in verse 45, this is chapter 1 of Luke, Elizabeth says, and blessed is she who believed. Now notice that. Blessed is she who believed. The manifestation of the blessing followed the believing. And blessed is she who believed that what would be performed by the Lord concerning what he spoke to her. His grace is sufficient. Not could be, can be, would be, should be, hope it is. But even though his grace is like a river flowing inside of you that's sufficient, his grace, you'll never experience it until you appropriate it by faith. Your faith doesn't make it sufficient. Your faith doesn't make his grace available. Your faith simply accesses the grace of God. We've said this 1,000 times. Faith isn't believing that he can do something. Faith isn't praying that he will do something. Faith is trusting that he is doing something and praising him before I see it with my physical eyes, what I've seen with the eyes of my heart. He performed a miracle on Mary's behalf and on Sarah's behalf in response to their faith. That's why it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Does it make things real? Faith is substance. Faith takes something as so, as real, done. My physical eyes don't have to see it. It's just true because he said it. And you guys have heard me say 1,000 times, faith acts like it is so, even when it isn't so, in order for it to be so, because you know it is so. He says it so. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.